Our scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. They came, Jesus and his disciples, to Jericho, the city of palms. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city en route to Jerusalem, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many in the crowd rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Be of good cheer," they said. "Be brave, on your feet. He's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabboni, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. Well, let's begin by conceding that Mark's point in this morning's gospel isn't really a subtle one. You don't actually need to be an advanced student of literature to have figured out that in this story, Bartimaeus isn't the one who's truly blind, right? It's also clear that, as far as Mark is concerned, the miraculous healing is hardly the point, because the point is not that Bartimaeus can't see. The larger issue is that the world does not see him. For the world, of course, can see. It just chooses not to notice Bartimaeus. That's central for Mark's meaning this morning, Mark's message. But of course, it also goes deeper than even that. For example, it helps to know that in stopping at Jericho, Jesus and the disciples have stopped in a major city in the ancient world, a well-to-do spot on the water where people went to recover from the turmoil of life in the capital. Jericho, at that time especially, was the kind of place where making a big splash could have a major impact. They would all have been feeling that. Jericho was a historic city. It was where Joshua and the Hebrew people first crossed the Jordan River to enter the Promised Land. And so, as symbols go, it was a profoundly symbolic place, a place where you would want your Messiah to go do something big. But listen again to Mark's story, because this is what he says about this visit to Jericho. Mark says, they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving, what happened in Jericho? I mean, it must have gone well enough. There's a large crowd that followed them out of the city. Jesus must have stuck the landing, whatever it was. But that's not what Mark says happened in Jericho. Because for Mark, in his telling, what happened in Jericho wasn't all of that stuff in front of the cameras. What happened in Jericho was that Jesus met this man, this guy, Bartimaeus, this fellow that nobody much cared about. But Bartimaeus mattered. He mattered to Jesus. And Bartimaeus, of course, should matter to us. Whatever was wrong with him was deep down the least of it. That really was the most fixable thing of all. The deeper challenge, which is at the heart of this story, is this idea of a kind of spiritual blindness that might see but decides not to bother. And the implication for Mark is clear, that being a Christian is about learning to notice the people that the world does not bother to see. That being a Christian is about hearing that voice calling from the back of the crowd that asks for help, that asks for healing, that asks for the grace to be able to join the journey too. Well, that day on the Jericho Road was a long time ago. Nevertheless, we know that those voices are all around us even now. That all around us, people are hurting, scrounging for any kind of hope they can get their hands on. So many of our neighbors feel left behind by the big party that it seems like life should be, and they don't know why. They don't know how that happened. They don't know certainly what they're supposed to do about it now. We are blessed to be in this place. And yet we know the longer that we're here, even here, even Greenwich, even in this wonderful place, there are people who are searching, people who are asking the big questions, people who are trying to find better answers than the ones that are the ones most immediately at hand. There are those who would say that our community is a hard place in which to be struggling. So this is the moment, I think, when some of you are waiting for the transition to the church and what we do, the ministries, all that. That's coming, don't worry. But what I think is also important to say is that when someone in our town, our community, our Jericho is hurting, it's important that they have a place to come to. I hope this is one of those places, of course. But more than that, what I want, what I hope, what I pray for is that when someone in our Jericho is hurting, that what they find is one of you. What I want more than anything else is that when someone doesn't know who to call, they'll call you. Whether they're Christian or not, whether they'll feel led to become Christian or not, if they call you, if you're the one, then this place will have already proven to be a blessing in their lives. That's what we're here for. We remember every now and again, as much as we love this place, and we do, as hard as we work to keep it going, and believe me, we do, the church is not this place. The church is us. The church is the discipleship of regular people seeking to follow God's path for their lives and journeying along with others as they go forward into whatever the future may hold, seeking to be a companion on the way. It is so important that we open ourselves up to transformation, not only because there are things in our own lives that need changing, growing, new perspective, but also because there are people out there who are just waiting. Waiting for someone who will come and say, stand up. Be healed. Be transformed. And the thing that's funny is, you know, you may hear that and you say, well, you went into the ministry because you do that. That's your thing. I went into the ministry because I wanted a front row seat to that happening. And believe me, I've had it. I have had it in this place. How long have I been here now? I'm looking at Matt Singleton, who was 12 years. I've been here 12 years. Believe me, I have seen it here. It's not. Sometimes it's. It's what you do. It's not that the power of Jesus is vested only in the predictable part, the predictable folks. What the story opens up for us is this idea, which is so important, which is that Jesus and his power are fundamentally not predictable. Any one of us can bear it. Any one of us can offer it. Any one of us can be the person who says, you know, the world may not get you, but I get you. People may not hear you, but I hear you. I know a thing or two about this. And I may not fix it, but I can journey with you in the fixing. And God can fix it. And so we tell this story. We tell it to remember as Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. He's going up to Holy Week. Next week is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday in Mark's telling is what happens in the afternoon of this same day. And so this journey that Jesus begins in earnest to go up to Jerusalem and all that will follow begins with this moment when someone just kind of catches him. And the idea, I think, is that for all of us, there's going to be someone who just catches us, who needs us, who's waiting for something we can offer. But only if we're willing to be caught, right? Only if we're willing to see, to hear, to find a way through all the distraction to be present. What is it that Jesus takes to Jerusalem? What message is it? Well, on some level, it's a message about the world changing, of course. Creation changing. I think we see what it is that he thinks will change the world much earlier on that same day. This idea that isn't unique to him even, but which he embodied so powerfully in order that we would come to carry that same charge into all the places that we find ourselves. That's what it is to be the church. It's not a place. It's a way of moving through the world and saying to people, at the edge of that crowd, stand up. He's calling for you. Same as one day not so long ago, he called for me. So come and join this journey and watch the things that God's people can do. Amen.